Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. Prior to spending 40 years as a shepherd, Moses had been a prince of Egypt. At 80 years old, he was in a retirement mood and certainly didn't see himself being part of the solution in freeing the Hebrews from slavery. God the Son personally met with Moses on the backside of the wilderness. From a supernatural flame, Jesus outlined what he wanted Moses to do. But Moses wasn't interested, and it wasn't until Jesus got angry that Moses finally realized he was speaking to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if he wanted to be on good terms with his Creator, he'd better listen and obey. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm excited about the message today, because it is very relevant to what is happening today in our world. Well, let's pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for these moments that we have here, Father God, this Sunday morning. And I pray right now, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to minister to me. I will have no problems delivering this message, that Father God, you will anoint me, anoint everyone listening, and give us insight, Lord, in these times of trouble. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm doing this series here on a virtual time run, and as I'm doing that, I'm getting into a deeper insight into God and how things are working. I came back to Christ in 1965. As a child, I lived through World War II, and I was in Sweden, where we had very little to eat because of the war on the oceans too. And I remember going through the Korean War. And then I remember the Vietnam War. Of course, we had the Iraq War, the Afghanistan War. We got different actions, like in Panama and other places where we started the war. Matter of fact, right now, we got about 10,000 soldiers, U.S. soldiers, in Africa. And they don't really talk about it, but they are in the area of Somalia and Kenya, in that area, region. But there has been a shift, and the shift is simply this, that the people's thinking, there's been a tremendous effort in education that started as early as in the 1940s and 50s. And so, what was right yesterday is wrong today. Now, I told people this. We have red chairs in this sanctuary, in our chapel. Now, if I'm going to be doing what the new people, the progressive, the woke people are doing, I'm going to simply say these chairs are not red. They are yellow. And then somebody came up and says, well, you know, they are red chairs. No. You are wrong. If I tell you they are yellow, they are yellow. If I tell you this is wrong or that, whatever it is according to what I decide. And today we have Facebook, we got Google, we got YouTube, we got Vimeo. We got Twitter, we got Instagram, and there are people that are running these organizations that really came from nowhere. And they are the ones, including Amazon with Bezos, they are now determining what is right and what is wrong. And if you do not go along with them, they will psych you, they will do all kind of things to you in order to make you to comply. So, this is where we are today. So I'm going to take you back now that most all of us have read the story of Moses and Egypt and so on. But I want you to see it from a different viewpoint today. So I'm going to read here from my outline. What do I got here? The Godhead once again passed the virtual time road with Moses and the sheep in the wilderness. They spoke to each other, and the issue of Moses' knowledge base was brought up. They examined the written records from the previous generation and knew that Jethro had taught Moses a story from Adam and Eve to the time of Joseph becoming prime minister of Egypt. When the Hittites were driven out 30 years later, the new Egyptian pharaoh had enslaved the Hebrews. So Moses knew this. Jethro had also access to the books of Enoch and the book of Job. Thus Moses was aware of Lucifer, fallen angels, and evil spirits. Up to this point in the virtual time run, the Godhead had not revealed Lucifer's rebellion, the subsequent space war, the trial of Lucifer, and sentencing to the lake of fire. Moses didn't know that God was proving his righteousness to the angels, holy and unholy. The God had decided it was not time to reveal any of these events to Moses. His job was simply to get the Hebrews out of Egypt, shape them up in the wilderness, record the spiritual laws that were to govern them, an elaborate sacrificial system was going to be set up that, unlike Lucifer, idol worship would not require human sacrifice. As the God had discussed these subjects, they heard the prayers and groanings for the Hebrew people, and it was decided it was time to start the time run again and activate Moses. You and I are now not in a virtual time run. We have been part of a virtual time run that took place before the foundation of the world and the creation. And at that time when it was our turn to be in the virtual time run, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, He saw you and I. He knew where we were. He had designed us. And He simply had us in a position where He wants us to be. Notice now, Moses had limited knowledge. The apostles of Jesus had limited knowledge. The book of Revelation was not given John until 90 A.D., more than 60 years after Jesus had been crucified and risen. You and I have a certain knowledge base. And now, God is revealing to us additional things as things are happening around us. God will give us the information He wants us to have. We have specific jobs to do. Very specific jobs to do. And we will get the knowledge that we need to do the job. And then it is up to us to be obedient. So let's read from Exodus chapter 2, verse number 23. And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died. The children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and the cry came unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groanings, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Notice now, it says here, and God had respect unto them. I'm going to deviate a little bit here and share something that the Lord added this morning. And this was for you and me to understand where we are today. So the first scripture I want to go to is Isaiah chapter 49, verse number 1. Listen, O isles, unto me. Let me stop right there. Any reference in the Bible to north, east, southwest is from Jerusalem. So any time you read in the Bible a direction, the point that it started from is from Jerusalem. We do know through archaeology, written records, that all things outside the Mediterranean Sea, where you have Gibraltar on the north side, you got Morocco on the south side, and you got the Atlantic out there. Everything outside of that was called the Isles. You got to understand now that as early as 1000 B.C., merchants from Lebanon traveled to Florida, what is today Florida. They traveled to certain Caribbean islands. And so we have found in Florida coins dating back to the Phoenicians, which today is called Lebanon. We also know through archaeology that the Phoenicians also traveled to England, the British Isles, and they had trading and certain things, and we have been finding coins and artifacts. So it's interesting now that this is what Isaiah is saying. He's now speaking to Great Britain, North and South America. He said, listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, you people from far. The Lord has called me from the womb. For the bowels of my mother has he made mention of my name. So you see, I simply stated this here now. To us living now, this is the prophecy given to him 700 years before Christ. And it is speaking to us today. He said this, when I was called while I was still in my mother's womb. Turn now to the book of Jeremiah, and we're going to go to the first chapter, and we're going to pick it up here from verse number 4. Now, Jeremiah, about 600 B.C., I see about 200 years earlier. It's 200 years between the two prophets. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. And I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. So now, another prophet says, hey, before I was in the womb of my mother, you knew me. God knew him and called him. And then turn to Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. This is the Apostle Paul now. He is now living around 60 A.D. So we got about 600 years between him and Jeremiah, 600 years. Have you read this? But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Paul became, he was a Pharisee. He was educated in the law. He was in the hierarchy in Israel. But God did not call him to be a Pharisee. He called him to be an apostle. But God allowed him to be a Pharisee for maybe 40, 50 years, because as a Pharisee, he learned the Old Testament inside out. And Paul is the most scholar of all the New Testament writers when he's expounding upon, has keen understanding. So here's what I want you to understand that you're listening to me right now and watching. You are not an accident. You might be in different situations where you came from a good home. Some of you came from a home that was helter-skelter, and some of you did not really have much of a home life. God knew that. He saw you in the virtual time run. And he's made provision at that time, worked everything out. And he simply said, I know you might come out of troubled times, but I have called you. I have created you. I have put talents into you. I have put gifts. I have given you an intelligence. And you are a vessel in my hands. So the difference now, and I want you to catch this. In the Old Testament, we had individual callings. So, for example, like with Moses, the people, the Hebrew people that Moses was dealing with, they were a herd. They did not have access to Scripture the same way. They sacrificed, they prayed, but they were simply pawns, if I can use that term. They were moved as a group by certain leaders. Because in the Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit did not indwell in people. They were saved by looking forward to the Messiah and repenting of their sins. The Holy Spirit was upon them, but not within them. So an Old Testament saint had less power than you and I have today. Now, the New Testament is different, because now we have the general priesthood. Turn to Revelation chapter 1, and I want to read verses 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, that's Revelation 1, 5 through 6. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, in the Old Testament, they were simply followers, except those that were called out to be leaders. But not every one of you in the chapel here, and those of you watching, you are, if you are born again, you have a title, you are a king, you are also a priest, and you have received the Holy Spirit. So we have what is called the general priesthood. So I want you to see now that in the Old Testament time, you only had certain people that were leaders, the rest of them were a herd or a group that was moved by the leader or by circumstances. In the New Testament, each one of us have access to the Bible. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We are kings, which means we are ruling. We are priests, which means we can come into the holiest of holy. And we have power today that they did not have. So with that, take you now to Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. So the difference now between you and Moses is this. Moses had the Holy Spirit upon him. He was given certain commandments. He was working with Jesus and angels. But he did not have the power that you and I have. The people that followed Moses, 3 million, they were simply like to have a cattle herd. They did not know why are we going, what's happening. They simply listened to the leader and they obeyed. They're supposed to do that. They didn't all do that. Today, each one of us is a leader, which means that we have access to the Holy Spirit, access to the throne room of God as kings and priests, which means that you can be a Moses any place on this earth whenever God wants to activate you. Amen. So with that, let's go back to the outline there, and we're going to land with Exodus Chapter 3. So this is a virtual time run that later was worked out. So here now, Jesus realized that in order to get Moses on board, I have to talk to him. In order to activate you, the Holy Spirit will talk to you. Remember what Jesus said, it is expedient for you that I go away, because if I go away, I will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He will show you all things. When Jesus was on earth, he could only be in one place at one time. Let me run it through you again. When Jesus was here on earth, before he was crucified, if he was in Jerusalem, he could not be in Galilee. If he was in Galilee, he could not be in Bethany or in any other place. So Jesus was limited in this way that you had to be in his presence if you wanted something from him. You understand what I said? It is expedient, you said. If I go away, the Holy Spirit will come. And the Holy Spirit is everywhere. The Holy Spirit is in this chapel today. The Holy Spirit is in your home where you are watching us. The Holy Spirit is in Africa. He's all over the world. The Holy Spirit has the capacity to talk to 7 billion people at the same time. He can talk to any person on the earth right now. But when Jesus was here, he could only talk to one person at a time or one group at a time. So picture now Jesus stepping down from heaven, the capital of God, throne room, And he stepped down on the planet Earth, and now he's going to encounter Moses. So I want you now to look at this from Jesus' perspective. Here comes Moses, 80 years old, burned out, shepherd, tired, no hope, simply washed up. So read for the outline here. Jesus was going to enter the virtual time room and speak face to face with Moses. The Holy Spirit moved upon Moses as he walked away from his home base to go to the backside of the desert. He did not know that Mount Horeb was the mountain of God and the place where Jesus would come to meet him from time to time. So here's what I want you to say now in your life. God will move you from A to B when he has to. He will give you divine appointments. Let me run that through again. God will give you divine appointments. He will meet with you with certain people that will be in the line of ministry that you are going to do. And the time will be perfect. And when you get to your place, the person or persons that you're to meet will be there. That's a divine appointment. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. So he did not know, why am I going over here for? He didn't know that. The Holy Spirit simply impressed upon him, this is what you're going to do. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, that was set up before. So we simply had angels there. There was a surrounding area. They had a bush. They had some kind of a fire that simply didn't burn the bush, but it looked like a fire. It smelled like a fire. It crackled like a fire. And so they simply had to have something to attract Moses. He needed something to be attracted to. And Moses said, I will not turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt? And Jesus said, come on, Moses. That's why the bush is here. Because the bush is not really what the message is. I'm going to bring you here to talk to you. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. He realized now, someone is in this bush. He's talking to me. He didn't know who it was. He realized this is something supernatural. And Jesus said, verse 5, draw not nigh hither, put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Slaves at this time had no shoes. That's the only thing that Moses had shoes. He was not a slave. And Jesus said, take off your shoes before you come here. This is a holy ground. This was the first act of obedience. Let's slow down now. At this point, Moses did not know who the voice was that talked to him. He was told to take his shoes off. Now, if you have a stranger come up to you on the street and says, hey, I'm supposed to talk to you, but before I can talk to you, take your shoes off. What would you say? Who are you, man? I'm not taking my shoes off for you. What's wrong with you? But Moses knew that this was bigger than him. And then the voice said, Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, the voice was identified. He knew about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, have heard the cry by reason of taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them out of that land, the good land, and large, unto the land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel that come unto me. I have also seen the oppression where the Egyptian oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Let's look at this now. Now, Jesus had identified himself. And then he said, now, Moses, I want you to go to Egypt and deliver my people. He had not given him any tools. And this is the way that God speaks to you today. I want you to do this. I want you to go there. I want you to talk to that person. But he has not necessarily given you the tools, the equipment. And Moses said to God, who am I? You ever heard people say that? Who am I? I'm nothing. That I should go to Pharaoh? That I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And that's the way that you and I are. We don't really recognize that we are kings and priests. And Jesus said, certainly, I will be with you. This shall be a token to you, for I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon his mountain. Now Moses began to reason. He said to God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your father hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? He couldn't come and say, I talked to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses said, what is your name? And Moses said, and God said to Moses, I am that I am, Yahweh, the existing one. Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. That's really not a name, that's a title. Do you realize this? That we do not know the name of Jesus. We have titles. Jesus means Savior. Christ means Messiah. But we do not know the name of Jesus. And we will not know the name of Jesus because in the book of Revelation it says, when he comes back, that he has a name written on his thigh that no man knows. Why is it important to have a name? Because, you see, if you have a name, you can put a request in. If you go to the bank and you says, you know that I got the letter here, and I'm supposed to do a job, and I'm supposed to get some cash here to do the job. They're going to say, who sent you? A contractor. What's his name? Well, he's a great contractor. What's his name? I don't know. You're not going to get any money. So we have to use titles. I am that I am. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. So if you really want to know who Jesus is, you call him I am that I am. Jesus used that term, recorded in the book in the Gospel of John, and they start casting stones at him. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, said to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. Now, there's further instructions that Moses got to, but I want now to turn to chapter 4. After all these instructions, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto you. This is what you and I have to experience on a daily basis. How do we know that God has spoken to us? Well, first of all, you've got to be saved. You have the Holy Spirit. And you hear a voice that tells you, this is what I want you to do. You got to step out in faith, believing that it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Now, in order to get this operation going, that God had realized, we have to give Moses some equipment. And they told him to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod. It was actually a staff, a shepherd's staff. Jesus said, cast it on the ground. He cast it on the ground, became a serpent, and Moses fled from it before it. And the Lord said to Moses, put your forth your hand and take it by the tail. You never take a poisonous snake by the tail, because he would turn around and bite you. You take it behind the neck. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. They believed that the Lord God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared unto you. So you got a tool now, a rod, a staff. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now your hand into your bosom. He put his hand in his bosom. When he took it out, his hand was leprous as snow. Now, if you've never seen leprosy, the skin becomes white as snow. And anyone in the Middle East that sees a person with skin that is white as snow, they simply say, stay away from me, because it is contagious. Stay away from me. Social distances, 6 feet is not enough. They had to be about 100 feet away. They could not live in the cities. Moses now put his hand in, put it out. Leprosy. That's a weapon. If he waved that in front of somebody, they would just back off and say, hey, man, don't touch me. And he said, put your hand in the bosom again. He put his hand in his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass that we will not believe you, neither hearken to the voice of your first sign. They will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass that they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken to you, your voice. You should take out the water and the river, pour it upon a dry land, and the water which you take out of the river should become blood upon a dry land. Moses now got three tools, three weapons. The staff that could turn into a snake, hand could be leprous, and he had the power to make water into blood. Now, what was his mindset? Look in verse 10. And Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Moses, when he was a crown prince, he knew how to talk. 40 years of the desert, he lost all confidence. And the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes a dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I'll be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Moses said now, O my Lord, send, I pray you, by the hand of him whom you will send. Send somebody else. And the anger of the Lord was kindling against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he comes forth to meet you. And when he sees you, he'll be glad in his heart. When you argue with God, he will get mad. God has emotions. Jesus has emotions. The Holy Spirit has emotions. That's what he said, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure that at this time, as the conversation had continued, that Moses could see Jesus. And he could see the anger coming up, and he recognized, this is God. He is angry. This is not a good situation. And we find here, in verse number 18, and Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said to him, let me go, I pray you, and return to my brethren, which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. And the Lord said to Moses, immediately go return to Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought your life. And then in the rest of the chapter, you will find that Moses went back to Egypt. We're going to follow him here as this develops. But what I want you to see now is this. Here's a man that supernaturally, as a baby, was saved from death. He was put into the palace of the Egyptians. He was raised for 40 years to learn war, justice system, to rule as a king, finances, budget, and so on. Then he was put 40 years in the desert to learn humility and simply realize that whatever you do, Moses, it is not you, it's me using you, giving you the power. This is where many of us are today. We had a good run. We got parked. We've been doing things for a number of years. And then God activates us. And simply says, now, you're going to come into the calling that I have for you. And remember now, it is not you, it's me. You don't have any power. I have the power. You got no power. You walk, you talk, and you do what I tell you to do, and it's going to be successful. I want you to go to page number 2 right now, because I want you to understand another legal background. Because why are things happening in this country like they are right now? I mean, who in the world would come up with a stupid idea, defund the police, instead have community policing? Like in Portland, they have park rangers with no guns, are supposed to control the streets. I mean, who can come up with stupid ideas like that? Open a border to Mexico. Let all these people come in. It's insanity. Now, who would think stuff up like this? Who would be insane enough to do that? It's not insane. Satan is very carefully has prepared this for hundreds of years. Because, you see, he cannot really take control of other countries until they first can take control of America, the United States. So why is this happening? Now we got to find, I'm going to show you a motive now. It makes no sense, unless you understand some things, if Lucifer was defeated before Adam and Eve was created, he was sentenced to the lake of fire. Why is he still loose on earth? If Jesus, when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for our sins, he stripped Satan of all his power, but Jesus was resurrected, he had taken back the earth. Why then is Satan still loose? It doesn't make sense. I mean, he should be put aside. But there is something else behind the scenes. And that is simply this. God is proving his righteousness. And in the book of Revelation given 90 AD, he gave us information that Moses didn't have, the apostles didn't have, that there had been a war in heaven, that there had been a tremendous war, destruction, a trial, sentenced to the lake of fire for Lucifer and his fallen angels, that he appealed. And so what we are in as human beings is a tremendous big operation of a trial where the judge, Jesus, is simply passed the sentence and said, I'm going to prove God is righteous. To do that, he's given Satan or Lucifer certain freedoms. He allowed him into the Garden of Eden. He put in the tree of knowledge of good and evil, so he had something to tempt them with. He allowed Lucifer to bring in fallen angels before the flood, and they had intermingled with human beings. And then God pulled the plug and drowned them all. But Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the days of the Son of God. We're coming back again to some kind of creation or mixing where we have occultism and technology mixing. Suddenly we have fallen angels or demons doing things, and no one can dispute the fact that we had a crash of a UFO in 1947. There were creatures on board that were not humans, and some of them lived, some of them died, some died later, but they were breathing. They had heart, they had bodies, eyes, ears. They were flying these crafts. That was revealed to us. Now, if pastors would have simply said, I'm going to take this event here, compare it over the Bible, I can see a correlation. But most pastors don't even go there. They say, I don't want to talk about that, because if I begin to talk about Satan, fallen angels, aliens, I got to talk about the Holy Spirit, because then people are going to say, what kind of power do we have? Well, you know, most of the churches say the Holy Spirit is not here anymore. The healings, the miracles are not here. So that's why pastors simply, they don't want any supernatural, because they don't want to bring in the Holy Spirit. Tragedy. Now, then the Bible says that the Antichrist will receive power for 1 hour, and so Jesus is going to pull back. He's going to allow this man and his sister to come in. It's going to be insanity for 1 hour or 41.6 years to prove God's righteousness. And after that, Jesus coming back, the false prophet, the Antichrist went to the lake of fire, Lucifer tied up in a bottomless abyss for 1,000 years. But ask yourself this, what's the reason? Now, if Jesus is here, we got a 1,000-year kingdom, everything is peachy, why would he let that terrible devil out? That doesn't make sense. It is to prove the final point. And the final point is that for 1,000 years, people have been born, couldn't get saved, they had to wait, there's no temptation. The earth is perfect, perfect climate, perfect things, no sickness, health, people living in an absolute fantastic world. And then Lucifer comes up and he says, hey, you had it good here, but I have a better deal. And the majority of the people will say, yeah, we believe Lucifer. That's his last fling. After that, he will go to the lake of fire. He's done. So this is the plan that God laid out before the foundation of the world. If we know that plan, then it makes sense what's happening today. That right is wrong and wrong is right. Because right now, it is just like you have a storm. You have a big hurricane. And you see it on the satellites, it's out there in the waters, in the ocean. And the outer banks, the winds begin to come in, stir. And you can tell, well, the hurricane is not here yet. It might be a day or two or 3 days out there, but it's coming. And what we are seeing now is the beginning of the manifestation of the demonic power of the Antichrist system that is beginning now to manifest, to put things in place. So this is the time for you and me to recognize that this is why we are here. We were born for this moment. We are equipped to handle this. This is our job. Moses' job was go to Egypt, get the people lined up, take them out, teach them, and then his job was done. Our job is to mop up. We have a real God action. We do know that the Holy Spirit is going to pull down his power. And I can tell you this. In the 1970s, we had Bible studies here in California. And we had Bible studies about every night in different homes, different cities. We advertised on radio Bible study. Our Bible studies were jam-packed. Had people in the 50s, 40s, a lot of teenagers, a lot of young people in the 20s. There was no problem. They were packing themselves in, hungry. There were miracles, salvation, healings, all kind of different things happened. It was a tremendous power. I felt the power overseas. But you know what happened? But 1985, the power began to go down. I'm advertising today. We got a chapel here in Sacramento area. We are the only church that's been staying open. Not the only one, but we are one church that stayed open. And you welcome anyone to come. I can't even fill this place up. I'm sitting in an area from Yuba City down to Stockton, Auburn, Davis, where we have maybe 4 million people. And if I can gather 25 people, I got a crowd. The power of the Holy Spirit is not here the same way. He's moving upon certain people. Certain people are getting saved. But to move on the masses is not happening right now. I believe that God wants to have a harvest as we're coming down toward the end. And we are going to be part of that harvest. But to do that, we got to get our act together. We need to be learned in the Bible. We need to know the Bible. We need to expect the supernatural. We need to walk in the supernatural. And that's what we try to teach. So, unless the Holy Spirit draw people, we have people, thousands of people all over the United States. But I can't pack them in the chapel. If this would have been 1970, this would have been standing room only, I would have people in the parking lot. Today, there's no problem. I got seats open. There's some of you that live in Sacramento because some of you are helping us out financially. I don't know why you're not coming when you have an opportunity. Most churches have lost the whole year. And that year just simply disappeared for them. It will never come back to them. So how do I close this? I want you to understand what I said to you. The Old Testament, God called certain individuals, and the rest were cattle, a herd, to follow the leader. Today, all of us are leaders. All of us have the anointing. And we can all do God's work. We have the Bible. We have knowledge. And the question is, are we going to use it or lose it? Didn't Moses exist? Yes, he did. Did the Exodus happen? Absolutely. We got proof on that. That was a divine operation. God wants a divine operation now. He wants a divine operation now. The question is, how many Moseses can he corral to do his work? Sure, we need to work on a daily basis to put bread and butter on our table. But Moses' calling was not to build a real estate in the wilderness. He lived in a tent for 40 years. And the last 40 years he lived in a tent. His job was not to build something up on earth. His job was to mold the Hebrews into a nation and get them ready, the bloodline ready for Jesus. God will bless us, but the purpose of our being here is not to be blessed, to buy this, to sell this, do this or that. That's not our purpose. That's a byproduct. But our purpose is to serve God and to surrender. If you listen to me today and you said, you know, I am not saved. I don't know if I'm saved or not. This will be a good day for you to simply say, I want to make sure that I'm saved. How do you do that? You simply right now, you do the following. Confess that you're a sinner, and you know that. Confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for you, rose on the third day, and through his death and resurrection we can be saved. And then simply say, Jesus, come on in. Save me. Forgive me my sins. He will save you. When we finish here in prayer, the screen will change for you. Three crosses will come up. You will hear the voice of Pastor Charles Terrell. He will say, my friend, he will take a few minutes, go through some Bible verses with you, pray with you to make sure that your name is written in the book of life today. When you do that, call us, write us. We like to encourage you. We like to know that you have accepted Christ. And to the rest of you that are walking with the Lord, you're in different stages. Some of you are very advanced, and some of you are in the middle, some of you are down here, but you're walking with the Lord. Take the outline that I had here today. Read it through again. Read the scripture through. Think about what I told you about proving God's righteousness. And then say, God, I want to be used. I want to be a modern-day Moses. You can be a man or a woman, and God will activate you. He is looking for good men and women, boys and girls. May God bless you as you make that decision. And here's Brother Thomas.
Father God, we thank you for the word today and the opportunity to receive, to hear, to apply, and to go forth and to do the work. We thank you, Father, for the ability and the mindset to keep pushing forward. And we look upon Moses. He was 80 years old, and he didn't feel like he had the tools, but you supplied them. And we all need to have that same frame of mind, that we have the tools, and we will get the job done. We thank you, Father, for our many blessings. We recognize the times that we're living in, and I want to pray against all this wickedness and evil and insanity and stupidity and everything else that we see in the world around us today. Pray for boldness for men of God to stand boldly. No more of these whiny operators, Lord. I thank you for that Polish pastor in Canada who wouldn't take no garbage, drove the Gestapo out of his church, and I thank you for that man. I thank you for strengthening him, and We just praise your name that there are many solid men around the world that are born again, Bible believing Christians, and they will not bow the knee. So we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. We also call upon believers to do what the Word of God says in Hebrews 10:25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So it doesn't mean sitting there on your couch. It means coming together and being present. You have to show up to the showdown. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood, so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life,
God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 15th part of the series, The Origin Story of Jesus, and was entitled, Activating the Deliverer.
There is an interesting discussion between Jesus and Moses recorded in the book of Exodus. Prior to spending 40 years as a shepherd, Moses had been a prince of Egypt. At 80 years old, he was in a retirement mood and certainly didn't see himself being part of the solution in freeing the Hebrews from slavery. God the Son personally met with Moses on the backside of the wilderness. From a supernatural flame, Jesus outlined what he wanted Moses to do, but Moses wasn't interested, and it wasn't until Jesus got angry that Moses finally realized he was speaking to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if he wanted to be on good terms with his Creator, he'd better listen and obey. Moses was ignorant of the events that had transpired in the book of Genesis, the background of the legal conflict between God and Lucifer, and how it affects all events on earth. The Bible makes more sense when you know why events are happening, their timing, and the end result. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1803. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.